Both to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 16 until verse 21. That will be our sermon passage for today. You know, sometimes when I scroll through Facebook, because I handle the Emmanuel Church page, I see some surprising posts, like someone saying Jackie Chan has died, or sometimes a famous sheikh here in the UAE promising sure huge investment returns through stock market. But because I like to check things very carefully, I often find out that these stories aren't true. They're made to get likes, followers, or worse, to scam people, to get money from them. And this doesn't happen only online. There are many things people believe today that aren't actually true. For example, some say Einstein failed his math when he was a student. But do your own research and you will learn that he was great at it, even teaching himself calculus at age 15. He's smart. Many think that the Vikings wore helmets with horns, but history shows they didn't. That idea came from old costume designs in 19th century operas. Some believe that astronauts can see the Great Wall of China from space with their eyes. But NASA says that's not true. You need special cameras to see it from orbit. The point is this: just because many people believe something doesn't make it true. We need to ask questions and investigate properly. And that's true for everyday things in life, and even more important when it comes to our faith. In our passage today, the Apostle Peter encourages Christians to live the way God has called them. But he also invites them to look closely at what they believe. He invited them to investigate and be sure that the message they receive and believe from him is true and trustworthy. And this will be the main thrust of our sermon today. We should be a people who just don't follow the crowd about a famous but unreliable belief. Instead, the Word of God, the Bible, encourages us to be a church who search, who ask, and grow in our knowledge of God through His Word. And that will be the main idea of our sermon. I want you to take home from this sermon this sentence: believe the message about Jesus Christ because of its reliable sources. Believe the message about Jesus Christ because of its reliable sources. And I will try to argue this by looking at two reliable sources of the gospel message. And the first one is the trustworthy eyewitnesses. The trustworthy eyewitnesses. The second, the trustworthy Word of God. The trustworthy Word of God. You can see that outline in your bulletin. These two trustworthy sources support the teachings of Peter about Jesus Christ. And this stays the same why we should believe the gospel message of Jesus Christ. So let's read our text before diving into the sermon. Second Peter chapter 1, starting from verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly contrived means when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice when it came from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. We also have the prophetic word strongly confirmed, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you know this. No prophecy of Scripture comes from the prophet's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray before we hear the sermon. Father, allow us to understand your word by the help of your Spirit, so that we might see clearly the power and majesty of your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, help us to respond to him rightly through repentance and faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Before we look closely at today's passage, let's take a moment to understand why Peter was defending his teachings. At the start of this chapter, Peter reminds the believer about the wonderful gifts that God has given them. God gave them the faith, just like the apostles had. We can see that in chapter 1, verse 1. God gave them everything they need to live a godly life, verse 3 of chapter 1. And God's amazing promises was given to them so they can grow more like Jesus and stay away from sin. And we can see that from chapter 1, verse 4. And with these wonderful gifts, Peter then encourages them to live a godly life. He wants them to exhibit things like kindness, self-control, love, so that they would be sure of their calling and not fall away. And why is Peter saying all these things? Because according to him, there are false teachers around, people who twist the truth and lead others away for selfish reason. And you can read that in chapter 2 of 2 Peter. And much like how I could do careful research before believing something that I'm reading at Facebook, Peter reminds these believers about the truth so that they are able to tell the difference between what is true and what is a lie. This church must be surrounded with people in their lives who hold these false teachings. And some of them might have started doubting Peter's message, wondering if he was the one teaching wrongly. And so Peter begins his defense about the truth that he is teaching. And here's the first point of his defense. He said, his point is, believe the message about Jesus Christ because of the trustworthy eyewitnesses. That will be our first point. The trustworthy eyewitnesses. Let's look together at verse 16. In verse 16, we can read, "For we did not follow cleverly contrived means when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, Peter was saying, we didn't make this up. We didn't make this up. Peter was saying in verse 18 that he and others saw Jesus Christ with their own eyes. They were eyewitnesses. They were there when Jesus was changed before them in glory. And that's what we call today the transfiguration. They heard God speak from heaven. They weren't made up tales and myths. They were real events seen by real people. And later, the Christian community believes that this account of Jesus was so important, really important in the Christian life, that it must be carefully recalled through their writings. And the proof of that is that now we can open our New Testament Bible and see from the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke that it was written. Matthew 17:1-7, Mark 9:2-8, and Luke 9:28-36. So when Peter talks about Jesus, he is not just passing rumors. He's sharing what he personally saw and heard alongside other witnesses. But what was it about witnessing Jesus' transfiguration that is worth defending? Look again at verse 16. Peter said that the power and coming of Jesus Christ was not a contrived myth. It is true. It is about the coming of Jesus Christ in power. And when the New Testament talks about Jesus coming, it can only mean two things. His first coming, when he was born and lived among us, and his second coming, when he will return in glory and power. But clearly, here in this passage, Peter was talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he connects it to the honor and glory that God the Father crowned Jesus at the mountain. And in the second coming of Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, the Bible is very clear about his exaltation in the fullness of his glory when he is crowned with honor, power, and majesty. And this is what Peter was witnessing in verse 17. Read the passage with me in verse 17. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The point of Peter of telling about the second coming of Jesus is this. Jesus is not an ordinary man. He's not just a good teacher or a wise man, a philanthropist, a philosophical master, a scientist. Jesus is the Son of God, whom the Father is well pleased. And the honor, power, and glory that Peter was witnessing here will be fully revealed when Jesus comes back again. What would you do then if this is the case? That's what Peter was pointing about. For Peter, this message was so important that he wanted believers to remember it, even after he died. When you read a few verses before, you can learn that he said, "I need you to recall these things, even when I'm long gone." As if he was saying, you better believe that Jesus is coming again in power and glory because we saw it for ourselves. And if you read the New Testament, you will see other eyewitnesses like John and the Apostle Paul who think that this message is very important and passed it on to many other churches. The Apostle John said in his writings in John 20:31, "But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:23, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." What is that message that he passed unto us? The gospel message. You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And in fact, Jesus Christ himself claimed this and gave it as his last word to his disciples before ascending to the clouds. It means that the truth about him is to be treated with great importance until his second coming. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18 this powerful truth. He said that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. These eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ want Christians to remember that there is nothing more important under the heaven than to know that Jesus is the Son of God and that he is coming again to rule all things in his creation and he will bring justice to all. That's the point. This is what Peter was saying. Trust this message about Jesus Christ, which we ourselves are eyewitnesses. And this will happen fully at the consummation, at his return. So how does this message relate to us today? Let me tell you a story to help us understand this better. This week, I was working with my wife's visa. One of the requirements that was asked of me was our marriage contract. And I submitted the copy, but the person told me that it has to be MOFA, or Ministry of Foreign Affairs, attested, so that they can confirm that this is real. So I showed them the page with the MOFA stamp, that stamp proves that our marriage is legal, true, and valid. But how did we get the MOFA stamp? Let me tell you the process. First, witnesses signed our marriage contract saying they saw us get married. Second, the Philippine government added their stamp to confirm it. And lastly, the UAE's MOFA accepted it as valid. Because of all these witnesses, it indicates that our marriage was valid, true, and legal. Now, think about the gospel message of Jesus Christ. The message of Jesus Christ is just like that. Many people saw him, heard him, walked with him, and they passed these accounts to many people. And the apostles documented these things through their writings. And then they passed it on to many churches. And many churches tell it on to one another until today. And the instruction is to do it until the return of Jesus Christ. What does this mean for us? It means that this message that is so special must be held by the church faithfully. It also means that Jesus deserves our thanksgiving. He deserves our love. So let me ask you, have you given Jesus what he deserves? He doesn't just want your money, your Sunday attendance, or your checklist of Christian duties. It is your heart that he deserves. We are called to love him with all our heart, all our mind, and all our strength. And if there's something stopping us, if there's something stopping you, or if there's any message that you think is more important than this message, then please think carefully. I encourage you to read 2 Peter 2. The Lord of glory is coming soon to rule and to bring justice. Let me read 2 Peter 2, 9 to 10. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials. That is the church. And to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment, especially those who follow the polluting desires of the flesh and despise authority. Will you continue to reject Jesus, the Lord of power and authority? My dear friend, He is coming again. This is what Peter and the other eyewitnesses keep on reminding people of all ages. Wherever you go, this is the same message. So what should you do if this is the case? Well, ask Jesus to forgive your sins. Turn away from your old life and believe that Jesus paid for your redemption. Believe that He rose again and ascended into heaven to bring many people to glory. And if you believe, you'll be one of them. This is the message that Peter wants you to remember. For the church, hold fast to the true gospel. It's a reminder for us that because of these eyewitnesses who saw His glory, we are to recall these things in our lives and to practice it daily until His return, so that we might be proven worthy of God's calling and election. Sometimes, believers may believe the message of their teacher because they trust the teacher. And it might be also easier to believe that message because they trust Peter. It might be easier to believe my message today because you trust me, or the message of Pastor Jesse, or the pastor from YouTube that you are listening to, because you trust them. But Peter doesn't only want these Christians to rely on his personal witness of Christ, because according to Peter, they have another source of assurance that is even more reliable, and that is the trustworthy Word of God. And that is our second point. Believe the gospel message about Jesus Christ because of the trustworthy Word of God. Let's look at verse 19 together. We also have the prophetic word strongly confirmed, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. When you read this message, let me translate what Peter must be saying in our own words today. It's as if Peter was saying, you can trust my own witness to the account of Jesus, but even more, you can trust the scriptures, because the scripture was strongly confirmed in Christ Jesus. And how is Peter so confident to say that? Well, Peter shows several reasons why it is confirmed in Christ, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He is the Savior, and He is the light. We can trust this message because it's been witnessed, confirmed, and passed down faithfully. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior. We can trust this because the prophetic word was strongly confirmed in Christ Jesus. Well, Peter explained this through the Old Testament language that we can notice in these verses. Look with me again in these passages. In verse 19, Peter said that you must pay attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dark places. A while ago, we read Psalms 109. On our first scripture reading, we read a passage that says, "The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." This is an Old Testament passage that Peter was using, so that he is pointing back to the Old Testament wordings. He also used some wordings like "until the day dawns." And if you will carefully check this passage through the help of some commentaries, you will see that he used Malachi 4:2, that the sun of righteousness will shine in your hearts as if like dawning, the dawning of the day. Peter also used the morning star rising in your hearts. And in Numbers 24, God uses a Gentile to proclaim that God will bring out from the line of David a star of Israel, a star from the line of Jacob, that he will be the king who will deliver his people from his enemies. So what is the point of Peter here? Peter is basically saying that the prophetic word of God, the Old Testament, points to Jesus Christ. Peter was also saying that above all, you know this. No prophecy of scriptures come from the prophet's own interpretation. Peter was saying these things are not made up by man. These things come from God himself. These things is saying that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament passage. And what is the implication for us today? First of all, this passage reminds us that this message is trustworthy. That Jesus Christ is the Lord of power and glory. That Jesus Christ is the one who entered in glory so that he will lead the way for us. Here's one big reason that we can praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' glorification opens the way for our glorification. Let me explain. When God finished creating the world, he said that it was very good. It was in Genesis 1:31. He blessed it in Genesis 2:3. But Adam sinned, and death and separation from God entered the world. And because of sin, no human being could stand before a holy God. Exodus 33:20. But Jesus restored what we lost because of sin. Jesus rose from the dead and brought in a new creation. In the same way that God has blessed his creation, we can read in Luke 20:24-50 that Jesus blessed his disciples in the same way that God blessed his creation. And we can remind ourselves from 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if anyone is united in Christ, he is a new creation. And this is what Jesus was doing here. He is blessing his new creation before he was taken up into heaven and his disciples worship him. That is why Paul can say in Ephesians 4:8, when he ascended on high, he took captives and gave gifts to his people. It means that when Jesus entered into glory, he opened the way for us so that we can follow him into glory. Jesus becomes the pioneer of our salvation. And church, even though we haven't gone into glory yet, Hebrews 4:16 reminds us about the present reality of all believers. It tells us that we can now come boldly into the throne of grace, and we don't need to fear of being destroyed by His holiness, because Jesus, the Lord of glory, may the way open for us. Peter used all these things to remind us that the Old Testament is the fulfillment of Christ Jesus. That Christ Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. When we also look at the Old Testament, we can look at the many prophets like Isaiah, calling Jesus as the suffering servant. Jeremiah, speaking about the new covenant that Christ would bring. Ezekiel, describing him as the shepherd king. Daniel, who saw the vision of the anointed one coming in glory. In Daniel 7:13-14, he said, "One like a son of man was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom. His kingdom will never be destroyed." And who is this son of man? Well, Jesus Christ used this title a lot of times in the New Testament. And a while ago, we read a second scripture reading. Moses said that God would raise a prophet like him, and we must listen to him. A while ago, we sang also, "Did our hearts not burn within us?" Luke 24:27 says, from Moses to the prophets, Jesus was saying that it's talking about him. The word of God points to Jesus Christ. And Peter was telling these Christians that all writers of the scripture serves as witnesses to the coming of Jesus Christ. And that the prophetic word comes from God and not from man. Peter makes it clear that it is God's message written by people who are guided by the Holy Spirit. Look again in our passage in verse 21. "No prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." To understand this, let me give you an example again. When I was applying to my seminary at SBTS, I have to send some of my school records. Even though I have the official copies, SBTS require my school to directly send my TOR to them. Why? Because my school is the origin. They confirm that my document is clear. And in the same way, Peter says that the origin of the words of the prophets in the Old Testament is God Himself. That's why we can trust it. Not only Peter, but also Paul. Paul agrees to it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16-17 says, "All scripture is inspired by God, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Even Peter says that Paul's writing are part of scriptures. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15-16, you can read that when you get home. And so what is the Bible's claim about itself? That both Old and New Testament are the Word of God. They are inspired by the Word of God, and we can trust its message. This is called the inspiration, the divine inspiration of the Word of God. The Holman commentary used the illustration of a sailing ship to describe this divine inspiration. It says that the prophets raised the sails, but the Holy Spirit filled their craft and guided them. Each writer had their own personality and style, but God was the one directing them to speak His truth. So Peter's message is simple. The Bible that we are reading today are not made of stories. It is God's Word. And the writers of Scripture and God Himself through His Word proves the reliability of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. These two eyewitnesses these two sources supports the message of Jesus Christ. The eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ and the Word of God in itself. Now, how does this passage relate to us today? Well, some people today might say that the Bible is already outdated. It's no longer useful. But that is not true. When people say the Bible is not for us today, they're basically saying it's not relevant anymore. They challenge its relevance. And what are we to do when these challenges come to us? Well, look at this passage. Look at the claim of the Bible. It claims that it is the very Word of God, and it speaks to every generation. So, in a sense, while people are challenging this claim, the Bible is also challenging them. That if the Bible is the Word of God, it challenges us with the following. It challenges them with the following. It challenges people to find out the truth. Let me share one story that a pastor who was visiting Emmanuel Church during anniversary shared in his preaching. He said that he was visiting big bookstores here in the UAE, and he looked for Christian books inside that bookstore. Sadly, he found a very small section. But most of the books there were books about self-help. Titles like Your Best Life Now or The Power of Positive Thinking. They're the ones that fill the shelves. These books tell people that you can do it. You're enough. These were the bestsellers. They are the ones who sold millions of copies. Now imagine of a book sitting in that corner with a bold title saying, "You cannot do it," with a subtitle, "In fact, you really can't." Do you think that this will sell millions of copies? Probably not. But that's exactly what the Bible says. It doesn't pretend that human beings are okay. It helps us to see the truth. That in a world full of opinions, we have to know the truth. And the Bible gives us a clear example in 2 Peter. The Bible also gave the example of the Bereans. When they heard Paul preach, they didn't just accept his words. They opened the scriptures and examined them carefully. And they wanted to be sure that what they heard was true. And that's the kind of heart and mind that we need today. A heart that doesn't easily reject reason. A mind that asks, "Is this really true?" A heart that seeks to answer questions like, "Why are people broken?" And a conscience that acknowledges that something is wrong inside of us and we need a solution. And yet the Bible also gives us the solution. And what is the solution? The mercy and kindness of God found in Jesus Christ. That He is the Word that came into flesh. The light of the world that shines in the darkness. The one who died for our sins and caused our redemption. The one who ascended on high and seated on His throne. The one who is reigning in power and glory. From the past, present, and future until He comes again. He is the solution to the problem of human beings. And that's why Peter in this letter was warning the church about the false teachers. And this causes us, the church, to hold fast to the Word. This is something that we must do. Hold fast to the words. When we hold fast to the Bible, it also teaches to reject false teachings. One of the false teachings that I want to remind us today is the prosperity gospel. It says that following Jesus is about getting rich, staying healthy, and being successful. And in this message, Jesus is just a ticket to heaven after a quick prayer of acceptance. And after that prayer, he is forgotten while people chase blessings. But that is not the gospel. The true gospel tells us something far greater. The gospel is about Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ brings the forgiveness of sin. Jesus Christ is the one who brings peace with God. He's the one who gives us a new heart. And the holiness that we need is the one who can provide us the eternal joy in God's presence. He's the Lord of light and glory. All of these wonderful blessings was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ and made available for those who will believe. This is the claim of the Word of God. And this church is what we must hold fast in today. There's another teaching aside from prosperity gospel that is quieter, but which is harmful. And it's the idea that the truth doesn't matter anymore. They say everyone has their own truth, and you decide what is true for you. This is called relativism, the belief that there is no absolute truth. But the Bible says otherwise. Truth is real. Truth is only found in God. And the reason why people reject truth is because the truth can hurt our pride, telling us to acknowledge that we are wrong. And the Bible challenged those who reject the idea of an absolute truth, because these people doesn't want them to be correct, the Bible to correct them. But here's the challenge of the Bible for you. How about this? You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John chapter 8, verse 32. And the truth is found in Jesus, who says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John 14, 6. That's why here at Emmanuel, we try to expose the truth through expositional preaching like this. That means that we teach the Bible book by book. We say and we proclaim that the Word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit. We encourage you to study the Bible for yourself after preaching, to echo it to one another. And if you are living Fujera, we encourage you also to go to a church that proclaims the Bible faithfully. Some preaching may sound exciting. It talks about success strategies of building your self-image. But those messages often miss the heart of the gospel. Instead, let's be a people who dig deeper. Ask yourself, what did God mean when He said this? And how does this shape my life today? This is what Peter was encouraging these people when he was writing this letter. Investigate, know, and trust the eyewitnesses, and trust the Word of God. Church, let's be a people of the Word. Let's build our lives on truth that never change. Believe the gospel because it's a reliable message, because of its reliable sources. The eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ and the prophetic word of God. Let's pray.